to Luke chapter 13. Been said by several that it's important that it's communicated about the shower afternoon, the shower this afternoon, that it is for males and females both. So guys, come on out. Don't leave Nate by his lonesome. On your bulletins on the back today, there is an article there by Will Justice, and I really recommend, don't read it during the sermon, but I recommend that you do take a look at it. That is a valuable issue for our time, and it's one that a lot of people don't even really kind of think about what's involved with that in thinking about beliefs and doctrine. And so take a look at it. Feel free to ask Will questions about it, and I volunteer him that way. but yeah, thanks, Will, for writing that. That's a good issue to bring our attention to. Let me invite you to stand right now for the reading of the Word. We're picking up from where we left off last week. So we did story of healing of a woman with a disability. And so right after that, chapter 13 in Luke, beginning at verse 18, hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. Be seated. One thing that parables could do was tell people about the world that they knew. The kingdom of God is like this ordinary thing that you know. This is like that. Jesus telling people that this mysterious kingdom of God is really not so strange. And so the emphasis then in the parable of the mustard seed is on how tiny this seed is. And yet, that tiny little seed can produce something so large. And we will never fully understand how that really works. How out of this small thing comes all this like wood and foliage. It is a miracle in the midst of ordinary life. So it is with the kingdom of God. And we say this, and yet, there is potentially more than that. In fact, in some ways, the parable of the mustard seed is sort of it's kind of a test case for how we look at all parables. So there is a view, says, that the parable of the mustard seed is a simple illustration of the kingdom of God. But there's another view that adds on to that, makes it perhaps a little bit more difficult, sees the mustard seed as a problem. And that the parable, what it does is it disrupts our view of God. It disrupts our world. It says the kingdom of God itself is a disruptive force. Now, why would we say that? The main reason is, even though a mustard seed is small, the image of a mustard tree is hardly a glorious one. And the value of a mustard tree, that actually gets complicated. Mustard has its uses, but when we go back and look at what people would say about it and what we think the relation of people was to a mustard tree, you know, we kind of see mixed things, and that's captured in a quote from something written by a Roman named Pliny the Elder. And he wrote about vegetation in a book called Natural History. He wrote about plant life in Judea and Galilee, where Jesus was. He said these words: "Mustard, with its pungent taste and fiery effect, is extremely beneficial for the health. It grows entirely wild, though it is improved by being transplanted. But on the other hand, when it has once been sown, it is scarcely possible to get the place free of it." Right? So it kind of functions like a weed. Mustard grows, you know, rapidly, and you're having to control it. So yeah, people would sometimes have it in their gardens. But indications are that farmers in the first century also spent a fair amount of time having to fight it on their farms. So it had its benefits, but it could also be obnoxious and take over. When I was a kid, the church that our family was a part of, the church building had this large side yard. And that side yard had been progressively taken over through the years by blackberry bushes. We kids loved it out there. We loved playing out there. We had so much fun. And we were horrified one Sunday morning when they announced in the church service that they'd sprayed poison on the blackberry bushes. Why would you do that? We eat those blackberries. And so for kids, blackberry bushes were mostly about food, right? For the adults, they were mostly a nuisance. They were taking things over. Mustard tree, not the most glorious plant in God's creation. I don't know, maybe someone finds this wild one here impressive. But then, question comes up, what about leaven? I mean, isn't leaven good? Isn't leaven essential to making bread, a basic staple food, especially in that time with their diet? Yes, it is essential. But you notice in the New Testament how it gets used in some negative ways in other places. So Jesus will say to his disciples, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." Okay, or the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, he's talking about the problem when a little bit of wickedness gets into the church. And he says, "Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough?" So a little bit of wickedness gets in there and it starts to seep through and take over everything. And so you see this, that there were certainly a lot of situations, and especially for Jewish people, where leaven could have a negative connotation. If that's not strong enough, there is that odd word in the parable. So odd that many of our English versions cheat, and they will say that the woman took the leaven, she put it in or mixed it in the dough, and that is not what it says. It says the woman hid the leaven in the dough. Sneaky woman with her leaven. Mustard seed, leaven, both had their uses. You also could see them representing problems, nuisances. And it is to these things that Jesus compares the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God reigning, God ruling. God ruling over you, over me, over groups of people, over hearts and desires and thoughts. And when we hear that, we say, yes, that is what we want. We want God's will to rule our lives totally and completely. We want in this church for God to rule totally. But beware, Jesus says, for the kingdom of God is a mustard seed or leaven. Perhaps the most difficult word in the passage is right at the beginning. And again, difficult enough that it makes some translators uncomfortable, and so they'll soften it some way in translating it. But the word is in verse 18. Verse 18 starts, Jesus said, therefore, okay, that word. Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? Now, therefore means that it is connected to what came before, which is a story that we did last week, the story about Jesus healing a disabled woman on the Sabbath in the synagogue. And so you think about that, connection between those. In fact, I would even ask, did you even know that the parables of the mustard seed and leaven ever had a connection to a healing story of Jesus? And before this past week, I didn't know that. But it's there. The word therefore makes this connection. So think about what happens. If you go back to that story, it's a Sabbath day, and Jesus sees this woman who's hunched over, this disease that she has has so crippled her. And he calls her over, he heals her, and the synagogue leader gets indignant because healing shouldn't happen on the Sabbath. And Jesus turns, calls him and calls others hypocrites and explains what their hypocrisy is. And then it reads, Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? A mustard seed or leaven? What's the connection between the healing and the parables? Well, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God doesn't behave in nice, impressive ways like people may often want. The healing of the woman was a kingdom of God moment. It's showing that God in this moment reigns. God has authority in this situation, authority that heals the woman. It is a sign that the kingdom of God is coming. And disruptive moments like that healing, where people get upset, those moments can actually lead to other things, lead to growth in different places. They spread like weeds, like yeast. They affect lives. They transform hearts, and they deepen faith, and they convert people to radical ways of living for the sake of God's kingdom. And for some people, it's going to be a very negative experience. It's going to be like you're trying to deal with a weed that you can never seem to get control of, or like trying to get the leaven back once it's in the dough, and it just spreads. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they certainly would have seen Jesus and what he's about in those terms. The kingdom of God can first appear somewhere as a small piece of trouble. But it spreads and grows, and it can be a nuisance even while it's magnificent. A common way of understanding the parable of the mustard seed and leaven is that they're about the church. Church starts small in Jerusalem, spreads to other parts of Judea, out to Samaria, up to the city of Antioch, and then farther out into the Roman Empire, and then to the whole world. That's what these parables are about. Yes, we can say, yes, they are about that. But also much more than that. Because Jesus isn't just making a point about something. He is teaching people a whole new reality, the reality of the kingdom of God, a disruptive reality. It's like Jesus is saying, I understand that this healing of the woman on the Sabbath disrupts your traditions, but so what? Because with this healing, you are seeing the kingdom of God coming right before you. And what you see here will spread, and it will take over lives and work its way through communities. The kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. As the church, we testify that. Yes, it will come fully and finally one day when Jesus comes again. And in the meantime, we continue to see its coming. We continue to see it come in us individually, in the church. We look farther, we can see it in other places. And so often, the way it comes is as this force that disrupts. And then it works through, it's pervading and invading and extending itself. Such is the kingdom of God. David Platt tells a story about a Sunday where in his church he asks a question about the reality of inner cities in America. And he asks specifically about the city that their church is located close to, and he just wonders, you know, are there Christians who will just feel on their hearts this calling toward the inner cities that will actually pick up and move out of the suburbs right into the midst of these impoverished neighborhoods? They will set their life there, and they will go about being the presence of Jesus there and loving people and having words to share about who Jesus is. Will there be Christians who take that up? And he asks that. And he said the next day he gets this email from a man who said that last night he couldn't sleep. That this question, you know, got into him and starting to take things over, and he's like, I don't want to do this, and yet I just feel like something so heavy is laid upon me now that I can't not think about it. I feel this call. And what's happening is he's seeing kind of his vision for his life and what his life is going to be. It's going up in flames. This is not what he wants his life to be about, moving into the inner city. And yet he feels the call of the gospel. God's reign is planting in an area of his life, and it's disrupting things. He's finding it starting to take over more and more of his life. And who knows what might grow out of it? Who knows the directions it might spread to others? That's the dynamic that was often at work in the early church. People would rather choose a different path, but they find the kingdom disrupting their lives and sending them places and giving them words to share. And it takes over more and more of a person's life. They are more and more what the kingdom is about. They reflect that God is king in their lives. And out of them, it spreads to someone else. And Christians find new ways of being open to God ruling over their lives. That was the case in the early church, and it still continues today. Still how the kingdom works. Several times in my life, I've been blessed to be part of small groups of men. Often we would meet in the mornings before work. And none of those groups were exactly the same in format or just kind of what we expected to happen, what the conversation was like, what the goals of the group were. But at their best, it was men who were communicating to each other, we are reaching for more. We want God to reign over our lives more and more. We are inviting the mustard seed. We want the leaven to spread in us. And we think that that can happen better when we're doing this with each other than just if each of us does it individually. We want it to disrupt us. We get that personal change can be unpleasant, but if we get to see more of God, if God gets to take over our lives more and more, let's go for it. And one of the things that has been personally impressive to me is just seeing Christian men willing to talk at times about uncomfortable subjects, ones that it would be a lot easier to avoid, but if it's for the kingdom of God in our lives, let's do it. And so in those groups, there were conversations about how to pray. Someone shares about an ethical problem that they're dealing with in their work, and we talk about that and discuss it. And someone is struggling with sexual temptation, and another person is having problems with his nosy sister-in-law. All these, in all these areas, how do we welcome the kingdom into more and more of our lives? That's what that's about. One key feature of the kingdom has to do just with the way that Jesus talks about it, the kinds of words he uses. So Jesus will say people enter the kingdom, or they can receive the kingdom. He doesn't talk about people advancing the kingdom. I know that Christians will sometimes use words like that. Jesus doesn't say that. And this next one, I may be wrong about. Check it out for yourself and tell me if I'm wrong. But I've heard Christians talk about us building the kingdom. I don't see anywhere where Jesus uses that word, where he talks about people building the kingdom. Again, I did my best checking this afternoon, but you may find something different from me, and please let me know. But typically, the kingdom is something that we welcome into our lives, but we can't force it to happen. One of the dangers that's attacking the church in America right now has to do with living in the midst of this incredible cultural upheaval that we are experiencing. I mean, we are just seeing such a huge social shift in America over recent years in terms of moral values and how we just think about those values, how we come to them. And a lot of thoughts are changing. So that it's not now for many people that the church is kind of this bastion, you know, upholding traditional morality. But for more and more people, the church is the purveyor of immorality. Why? Because the church is full of bigots and we promote prejudice. Right? That's a lot of people's understanding. That's a huge cultural shift. And we are living in the midst of it. I see this talked about in Christian journals, at Christian conferences, on podcasts that I listen to, and books being written. It is just such a provocative conversation right now. The primary danger for Christians, though, is not the cultural upheaval itself. It's how we choose to respond to it. We can easily see the life of the church as predominantly, as mostly, about kind of gathering into this place of safety and security and refuge, you know, and we want to kind of get out of the storm out there, and so we draw in together into this place of protection. Now, at one level, that's a good thing. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are getting beaten around by the storms. And so we want to be this place of refuge for those who need it. But that can't be our only way of thinking about who we are, about what happens when we come together. Because let the church also be a place where we come together and we pray, Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come. We want the kingdom of God to disrupt our safe lives. Let the obnoxious mustard tree grow among us. Let the sneaky leaven spread among us and deeper into our lives. We don't want to play it safe. We want our lives exposed to the upheaval that the kingdom of God would bring among us. That is a kingdom response to this cultural moment that we are living in. To pray, your kingdom come. And so one of the things for us then might be just for each of us on our own to ask, where are we playing it safe in our Christianity? Where are we resistant to Jesus getting too deep into our lives? Where do we kind of put up our walls against that? That can mean that we do something, but perhaps we even have to back up a little bit more and ask, okay, what is it that God is already doing in my life? Right? Where is he trying to dig in a little deeper into my life and disrupt some things? Where do I see his kingdom at work in me? Let's pray together. Our Father God, as we have worshiped today, we want your reign over us. Reign in me. Reign in our lives. Let that be the case totally and completely. And God, it's scary to think about that, but we just want to say this morning that even despite our fears, we do ultimately know that you know what's best, that you rule better in our lives than we rule over our own lives. And so God, take hold of us and let your leaven spread through our lives more and more, that with our lives we might point to the kingdom, point people to Jesus more and more. And I pray that that would be our experience as we go into this coming week, that we would have a sense of that happening, that your Spirit would be at work showing us where that's taking place. We trust you, our confidence is in you, and send us as we go. Lead us now in our time to the table, that we might meet Jesus as we so desire to do. We pray this in his name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.